buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's overtime with William Pattison on a Friday, right before heading to spring break, headed to Destin, Florida tomorrow morning. But before I leave, we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to cover. The SEC regular season champions are in action tomorrow on Senior Day. We'll dive in to the game against Kentucky to begin the hour. And later on, I'll tell you why this Tennessee team is different than years past. And as always, we'll get to our best bets towards the end of the hour. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop in and join. A little bit of an excerpt, Mark, today. Just me in the booth producing and doing the show. So call during the commercial break so I can bring you in that way. But very excited for today's episode, and we are very happy to have you along with us. And let's dive right into it as the Vols will host Kentucky on Senior Day. After winning the SEC regular season title outright for the first time since 2007 and 2008, the 2007-08 season, I should say, with its win at South Carolina Wednesday night, the fourth-ranked Tennessee Vols are set to battle 15th-ranked Kentucky on Senior Day at Food City Center on Saturday. Tip-off is slated for 4 p.m. Eastern time. Also, get CBS on the call, so that's a pretty cool standalone national game. Some national recognition for this really, really good Volunteers basketball team. The Vols entered the game at 24-6 and 14-3 in SEC play. They clinched the conference championship at South Carolina with a 66-59 win, and fifth-year guard Dalton Knecht was a big reason why. Led all scorers with 26 points for fourth-ranked Tennessee, which never trailed at a sold-out Colonial Life Arena on the way to the first time ever, defeating its third straight AP Top 25 foe in as many outings, including the second win in a row on the road, also a program first, beating those Top 25 teams. Now, Kentucky, on the other hand, they come into this matchup at 22-8, 12-5 in SEC play. And they are coming off a midweek win over Vanderbilt at home in the previous matchup, because the Vols have played these Wildcats before this season, and that was one of the best wins of the year. The Vols were able to achieve one of their best wins with a 103-92 win inside Rupp Arena. In that game, the Vols were led in scoring by senior Josiah Jordan James with 26 points, and the team shot 40% from three. Would love to see those numbers once again tomorrow. Let's do the KenPom breakdown as we always do. UT comes in at number 5 overall, number 20 in adjusted offense, and number 3 in adjusted defense. Kentucky, on the other hand, number 18 overall, number 8 in adjusted offense, and number 99 in adjusted defense. Not the best defensive team in the country for sure. Let's begin with my keys to the game. And what a day, before I get into this, what a day for Fan Run Radio on Fox Sports Knoxville. A great day you had on the morning show this morning. You had Rick Barnes come on and talk. A really cool interview. I suggest you go check that out. And The Drive just had Coach Ganey on as well. And one thing both these guys talked about was the emotions that come with Senior Day. So I think that these guys, especially Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James, this is not their first rodeo, as they were seniors last year and recognized as well. But making sure that the emotions don't get the better of you early on in this game. I know it's a big day for these guys, and deservedly so. They should be able to experience that. But don't let the emotions get to you early on in this one, because Kentucky has a type of offense that is explosive. And we saw when they played against Alabama a couple weeks ago. They came out in that game hot and never looked back. So you can't allow this Kentucky team to get a quick boost at the start of the game because just of all the motions going on. The second thing is you've got to defend these three-point shooters for Kentucky. This is their bread and butter. They're an offensive-minded team, and they win games by just simply outscoring you. They win games by knocking down the three-pointer. They shoot 42.6% from the top of the key. That is well over the Division I average. And they shoot above the Division I average on every spot on the court outside of the corner three, which is kind of funny. You know, the corner three is probably the easiest shot on the at least on the perimeter, that is. And Kentucky shoots just about the league average or Division I average from the corner. So you've got to make sure, especially on guys like Dillingham, who are kind of a wild card offensively, high-volume shooter. Reed Shepard, a guy who's had a really good stretch of games as of late. We remember that Mississippi State game where, that guy couldn't miss. So you cannot allow those guys to continue their hot streaks offensively. You've got to be able to lock down and stop these guys defensively. And then finally, my last key is, look, let's send these seniors out the right way. I'd love to see a big performance from Vescovi. I've been kind of calling for it all season long. And I would love to see it in a day like tomorrow. You know, senior day, a guy that's been here for so long, has meant so much to this team. One of the coolest parts about this day is all the praise that Rick Barnes and all the coaches have given both Josiah and Santiago Vescovi. I mean, just gone on and on. And you know, as they were alluding to on the drive a couple minutes ago, you know, it's not like we're looking around the country to see who's talking about these senior classes either. But, you know, it's rare that you see these coaches go on and on about the impact these guys have had. So let's send them out the right way. Would love a couple of big performances from all the seniors, including Connect. So send these guys out the right way. Come in with the mentality of, yes, you won the SEC regular season championship, but you still got a lot in front of you, right? You know, the goal of this season, one of the goals was to win an SEC regular season title, but the ultimate goal is to continue to push towards a national title, and an SEC regular season championship does not grant you a national title. You've got to continue to win and got to continue to do the things that you've done to get to this point tomorrow against a Kentucky team that is one of the biggest boom-bust teams in the country, as I've talked about on here a couple of times. So those are my keys to the game, I should say. Look, don't let the emotions get the better of you. I know it's a big day, but make sure you realize that this is a really good Kentucky team that can come out hot. Second thing, you've got to make sure you defend the perimeter. Very incredible shooting team, high volume, great offense. You've got to make sure you key in on those guys. And the last thing, make sure you send these guys out the right way. These seniors that have sacrificed a lot for this team, meant a lot to this team, mean a lot to this university, send them out the right way with a big win. In their last five games, Kentucky ranks 347th in defense. In their last five, 347. That's one of the – I mean, they're not that many. They're about 340-something college basketball teams. Kentucky ranks right there towards the bottom of all of them in defense in these last five matchups. The Vols have shot the ball really well at home this season, and they're also a 9.5-point favorite. One of the questions we got yesterday on the air was, what do you think this spread will be? And I said 5.5. 9.5 is screaming that the Vols are going to cruise in this one. About the Vols at home, the Vols are shooting very well at home in the 100th percentile among other college teams, also shooting really well from the two-point percentage as well, around 43%. So, look, the Vols have shot the ball well at home, and you're playing against a defense that has struggled all season. It's kind of been the Achilles heel for this team. You have the opportunity to take this one out of hand. I don't think it will, but I think when you look at the matchup here and how bad Kentucky has been defensively and the Vols having the home cooking DNA all season long, this could very easily possibly get out of hand. Now, on the other side, despite struggling on defense, Kentucky boasts one of the best offenses in the country. Over their last five games, the Wildcats are the number one offense in the country. This season, the Wildcats shot well over the Division I average from every spot on the court outside of the corner three, including a 42.6% clip at the top of the top of the key from three. But Tennessee, however, and this is one of the things I love about this team, is they continue to improve on and learn from their mistakes. Because early on in the season, especially in SEC play, Tennessee was allowing a lot of teams to, in particular, inferior opponents, to shoot well over their season average. We saw Georgia put up 14 threes. We saw Vanderbilt, who's not a very good basketball team at all, at home was able to pace the Vols in three-point shooting, and we all know what happened at Texas A&M. And I think early on in SEC play, the help side three-point defense was not very good. But over the last couple of, I'd say, you know, last six or seven games, really the last month of basketball, Tennessee has done a much better job. And as a result, they rank 11th in open three rate at home, or excuse me, open three rate this season. And at home, Tennessee's defense holds opponents to shooting the ball at a top tier rate, ranking first nationally in opponents' field goal percentage, 2-point percentage, and 3-point percentage. So the Vols have been able to get it done at home. And I think the Vols defense is going to be very, very important in this one, especially with how good Kentucky is and how many guys they have that can put the ball in the hoop, especially from the perimeter. Reed Shepard, Dillingham, Reeves, DJ Wagner's another guy to watch out for. Edwards kind of had his coming out party, as Gainey said, on the drive earlier against the Vols earlier in the season, and he had a really big performance against Alabama as well. Cannot allow these guys to get going offensively. So I think it's very, very important. The Vols know their personnel, get good shot contest, and as a result, that's where you can carry out and transition where the Vols have been really good this season. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I think early on in the year, the Vols struggled with help side defense along the perimeter, especially against guards. They've continued to get better at that. And a prime example would be South Carolina and at Alabama, or I guess at South Carolina and at Alabama. But you did a really good job against one team that shoots the ball really, really well in Alabama from the perimeter. You were able to hold Mark Sears to just 2 of 8, kind of took him out of the game. He was taking some forced bad shots as that game continued to go on. And at South Carolina, really until the last 3 or 4 minutes of that one, South Carolina wasn't able to get it going from the perimeter either. So I think the Tennessee's perimeter defense has been one of the storylines that I think has improved the most throughout the year. And I think it's got to be big once again at home on Saturday. The Volunteers have posted 20-plus assists 11 times this season. They have reached 25-plus 3 times with a high of 28 against Vanderbilt at home back in the middle of February. Tennessee has a 60.8% assist rate that ranks number 14 nationally per KenPom. And last season, Tennessee placed second nationally per KenPom with a 66.2% assist rate. So this is a team that likes to share the sugar. And another storyline we followed with this team is, okay, we know what we have in Dalton Connect. You know what you have in Zakai Ziegler. You know what you have in Jonas Adu. Who's going to be that guy that's kind of one of these role players that comes out and has a big game? The X factor, if you will. And at times we've seen Jordan Gainey be that guy. At times we've seen Tobey Awaka be that guy. And, you know, in the matchup against Kentucky last time, it was Josiah Jordan-James. I think in this matchup, I think Santiago Vescovi is your X factor. He's a guy that can, shoot the ball from the perimeter very well, at least came into the year as one of the top guys from the perimeter, and also provides a lot defensively, and he's going to be matched up against these guards for Kentucky. So that's a big assignment right there. I'd love to see him get a lot more production offensively too, but I think Vescovi is the X factor for the Vols in this one. I really think that if you want to have the correct send-off for these seniors, I think you have to get some big involvement from Vescovi once again, who was great in that Alabama game, by the way. Look, might have only had 8 points. It's not going to wow the SportsCenter Bleacher Report fans, but got stops defensively, caused turnovers, and had a couple big buckets from the three-point line down the stretch as well. Would love to see a little bit of an increase in the point column, but if he's able to continue to put his impact on this game, I think he'll be an X factor for the Vols on Saturday. So let's talk a little bit about what's at stake in this matchup. So as we know, it's senior day. Josiah Jordan-James and Santiago Vescovi are two guys that have been here for a while. They won their second title at UT on Wednesday. They previously won the 2022 SEC tournament title and cut down the nets in Tampa, Florida. Saturday is an opportunity to cut down the nets in front of a home crowd at Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center, as UT likely would do so after a win to celebrate its conference title, which would be just an awesome moment for those guys. And James and Vescovi, as I said earlier, you listen to Barnes and Gainey talk about these guys. They have been paramount to Tennessee's phenomenal stretch in the past few seasons, including a streak of being ranked every week since the start of the 2021-2022 season. It's their final game in Knoxville and the final go for Dalton Connect. His story is incredible too. The 1 year transfer who will go down as one of the most memorable players in Tennessee history for his incredible scoring, that will, you know, likely give him the SEC Player of the Year honors. All these guys, and Colin Coyne as well, UT's lone senior walk-on, all of these guys have played valuable roles. It's very important to give these guys the correct go-out, send-out, I should say, on senior day. They've all sacrificed a lot. Some have been here longer than others, but nothing is sweeter than giving your seniors one last big win. Keep in mind, over a Kentucky team who's a rival of Tennessee, giving them a send-out with a big win, capitalizing a SEC regular season championship, winning against Kentucky at home. Everything comes together if they're able to win this one. I think that'd be a really cool moment for all those guys coming from different perspectives. Another storyline in this one, Tennessee moved into the fourth number one seed spot with its win at South Carolina, according to many bracketologists, including ESPN's Joe Lenardi. Now, CBS Sports Jerry Palm already had the Vols as the number one seed in Los Angeles' West region, following its 81-74 win at Alabama. But the win on Wednesday against the Gamecocks has now kind of solidified all the bracketologists now to fully buy into this Tennessee team, even though they should have bought into this team a while ago. But we'll take the respect now. We'll still let it fly. But a win against Kentucky, when we go back to talking about the stakes here, would give Tennessee four straight quad one wins and a 9-5 mark in quad one games this season. UT would be 7-1 in its final seven quad one games in the regular season. Lone loss was Texas A&M. We don't want to talk about that one anymore. But Arizona, which is UT's top competition for the final number one seed, has a 7-3 record in quad one games, but has two quad two losses and a quad three loss. UT has only one quad two blemish. It's lost to South Carolina on January 30th in Knoxville. Purdue, Connecticut, Houston, they're pretty much locks for the number one seed. So the fourth spot is still open. And it's between Arizona and Tennessee. And one thing we talked about yesterday, though it's unfair in my opinion, I think if you lose on Saturday, you likely lose the number one seed. So in terms of, you know, where you stand come tournament time, tomorrow is very, very important. I know we've kind of come on here as a crew and said, you know, this is the most important game under Rick Barnes. And we said that about the Alabama game. And then again on Wednesday, we said, well, this is the most important game under Rick Barnes in Tennessee history because South Carolina was the next opponent and you had the opportunity to win the SEC outright. You were able to do that. But now in terms of seeding, having the opportunity to be a number one seed in the tournament, I think is a very, very big deal. You could almost say this is the biggest game under Rick Barnes in this one as well. And a lot of people, I think, get kind of engulfed about the name of the number one seed. But I look at it as I don't want to have to be in the same bracket as Houston, because I think Houston is a team, I guess same region as Houston, I should say. But I think Houston is a team that could cause a lot of matchup problems for this Volunteer team. I don't want to have a path to the Final Four handicapped by a possible meetup with Houston. Give me Arizona all night. I'll take a matchup with Arizona. I think Tennessee could win that game. But I do not want to face UConn, and I don't want to face Houston. You lose tomorrow, you likely give the opportunity back to the committee to say, okay, you're a number two seed, we'll put you with Houston. I don't want that scenario. I think tomorrow you have to win to make sure you avoid that. Now, let's also talk about this rivalry and what's at stake. Tennessee has had unmatched success against Kentucky with Rick Barnes as the coach. He has an 11-9 record against the Wildcats, which includes four wins at Rupp Arena to match how many the Vols had in the first 39 meetings. I'll say that one more time in case you missed it. He has an 11-9 record against Kentucky, which includes four wins at Rupp Arena to match how many the Vols had in the first 39 meetings. You want to talk about greatness, that's a pretty great stat right there. A win Saturday would give UT its second regular season sweep against the Wildcats in Barnes' tenure. The Vols won both matchups in the 2018 regular season. They won 76-65 in Knoxville and 61-59 in Lexington. And the Vols are also 5-3 at home against the Wildcats under Barnes. So talking about how sweet would it be to end the season with a win over your rival, I don't think it could get any sweeter, not even the crumble cookies that were given out earlier. I think this is a prime opportunity to not only go out and send these seniors out the right way, but this is a resume builder, and it also means a lot to sweep Kentucky in terms of the Tennessee-Kentucky basketball rivalry. So when you combine all these things, you have to think that this is a really, really big matchup for the Vols against the Wildcats. I think they can do it. And as I said in the opening, with the takeaways, you got to make sure that the emotions of senior day don't get to you. Obviously celebrate it and cherish it and embrace it. But come tip off, it's time to lock in. This is another basketball game, another opportunity to improve your resume and build towards your ultimate goal of a national title. So can't let the moment get too big. You have to make sure that you do a good job defending these three-point shooters. The Vols have done a really, really good job over the last six, seven games, really the last month and a half of basketball, of defending the perimeter. You have to make sure you do it against this team because they will make you pay for it. And this is a Kentucky team that I've gone on here and said multiple times is very boom-bust, a very talented group of freshmen. They could lose to anyone on any given night, as you've seen them lose to UNC Wilmington earlier in the year. They dropped to LSU after a big win over Auburn. But there's the other side to it where this team can get some really big wins too, and they could beat anyone in the country come tournament time and right now. So you have to make sure that you do not allow these shooters to take away this game. And finally, send off these guys the right way. I'd love to see a big performance from Santiago Vescovi. I coined him as my X factor in this one. I think you could get a big performance from him. Dalton Connect, we know what he always brings to the table. He was big in the matchup against Kentucky. I think that it's only fitting that he has another one of these Dalton Connect dominant DK games to end out his time in Knoxville. So I'd love to see those guys get back involved or continue to be involved, and also just send these guys out the right way. It's senior day, a lot of stakes on this game. Let's do it the right way. When we come back, I'll tell you what makes this Tennessee team different compared to years past right here on Overtime.
Auto Group, your one-stop destination for quality vehicles at unbeatable prices. Cruise through their vast selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got the flexible financing options that make it easy for you to drive home today. Volunteer Auto Group, where every deal's a winner. 1501 Callahan Drive. Check them out online at volauto.com and tell them Fan Run sent you.
White Claw delivers a wave of pure refreshment and a variety of flavors. From the originals like black cherry and mango to new flavors like passion fruit and blackberry. Crafted using our unique brew pure process, White Claw delivers a crisp taste with only 100 calories, 5% alcohol, and only 2 grams of carbs. Check out your favorite retailer in store or online for White Claw variety packs, single flavor packs, and 16-ounce single serve cans. White Claw Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become a victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve your identity theft issue. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Let LifeLock help protect your financial info, so all you have to worry about is what you do with your tax refund. Go to LifeLock.com, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is HERD, promo code H-E-R-D, to save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com. Identity theft protection starts here.
Citizens National Bank.
We make it easy to save money. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, and travel with the CNB Plus Perks account. It's a powerful new way to save money with roadside assistance, cell phone protection, identity theft protection, and credit monitoring. Banking at CNB has its perks. Call or stop by a branch for more details.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Are you tired of looking at that piece of furniture that is worn down but you don't want to get rid of it? Go see our friends at Sun Upholstery and Fabric. Locally and family owned and operated with over 67 years of combined experience. Located at 8913 Oak Ridge Highway, give them a call today at 865-237-3272 or visit them online at fabricsun.com. That's fabricsun.com, and be sure to tell Stan that you heard about him right here on Fan Run Radio.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Friday. Great first segment talking about the Tennessee and Kentucky game tomorrow. A lot of stakes on the line in that one. Let's head to the phones, however. We got Chris on the line. We appreciate your call. Let's head to the phones. We got Chris on the line. What's up, Chris? Chris, are you there? Chris. Chris, you there? All right, not hearing from Chris. Doing the production and the on-air today. Let's see if we'll get Chris in here in a moment. Let's go back to talking about what makes this Tennessee team so special. Over the last couple of years, there have been a lot of frustrations from some fans that this team – falls in March and does really well in January. They're not able to get it done when it matters most. But I think this team is completely different than years past. Let's begin with pace. These are the from 2000, I guess, this season all the way to the 2019-2020 season, the percent of possessions between 0 and 10 seconds and their points per possession on each season since the 1920 season. So in 2019-2020, the Vols had 26% of their possessions between 0 and 10 seconds and 1.07 points per possession. In the 2020-2021 season, they had 31.5% of possessions between 0 and 10 seconds and 1.17 points per possession. The 2021-2022 season, 28.1%. possessions between 0 and 10 seconds and a 1.16 points per possession. Last season, 2022-2023, 24.2% of possessions between 0 and 10 seconds and 1.14 points per possession. This season, under Rick Barnes, 35% of possessions are between 0 and 10 seconds and their points per possession are 1.30. The biggest numbers under Rick Barnes in terms of pace has come from this season. Last year this team would have a lot of moments where they would be unable to score. It's what took you out of the tournament against Florida Atlantic. You went 6 minutes without being able to put the ball in the cup, and this team became notorious for having those struggles offensively. A lot of half-court setups. The offense at time would be really stagnant, a lot of standing around, forcing up bad shots late in the shot clock. It kind of became that team's DNA. However, this year, you've seen them push the tempo more than ever, and it's paid off. A lot of Tennessee's best wins this season have come from pushing the tempo. I think about the Ole Miss game, the first SEC game of the season. Push the tempo against a team that was ranked at the time and thought to be a good team. They were undefeated. Tennessee was able to wipe the floor with them because they were not able to stop their tempo. Florida, early on in the season, which was just upgraded to a quad one win, they were able, Tennessee was able to push the tempo against them. Vanderbilt and Texas A&M, two inferior opponents, but at home, you were able to push the tempo against them and run them out of the building. The toughest matchups for the Vols this season, one of them is Missouri. It was an ugly one, but Missouri did a really good job of making the Vols uncomfortable and keeping them from pushing the pace. A lot of turnovers, a lot of steals. Missouri was able to muck up that game and make it very difficult for the Vols to play their play style. So pace this season has been unlike any other. The next piece, the closer, Dalton Kanecht. Dalton Kanecht has been a big reason why this team is what it is and why it can be a tournament threat in March. Every great team has to have a closer. At the NBA level, at the college basketball level, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how good of a team you are, you're a good team unless you have a closer. You're a great team if you have a guy that's able to go get you a bucket when you need one most, and that's Dalton Kanecht. Think about last year's UConn team. You had Jordan Hawkins, a guy that could be instant offense and put that game away in minutes. You know, a couple of times in that tournament, he'd have 15 points before you could bat an eye. That's a closer. In the NBA, Ja Morant for the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot of people give him strays for his off-the-court stuff, but there's not a better closer in the NBA than Ja Morant. And the reason why that Grizzlies team is able to roll, especially when they're all healthy, is because Ja Morant gives them the opportunity to close out games. You can give him the ball, and he's able to be that scorer. Dalton Kanecht is that guy for Tennessee, averaging 20.6 points per game, 5 rebounds a night, 48% shooting from the field, 40% from three. He's a three-level scorer that wants the moment. He wants the moment. There have been many examples this season of when the game is on the line, Dalton Kanecht is looking where the ball is. In that Auburn game, you're trailing at home. Dalton Kanecht's looking for the ball. He wants to will this team to a win. And I think early on in the season, a lot of it was trying to figure out where these guys place on this new lineup and new roster. And sometimes Kanecht would kind of take over so much that as a result, the other guys would kind of stand around with their hands in their pockets and just watch. But I think as the season has gone on, you've seen more players on this team kind of buy into what Kanecht does, but also give their piece as well, be able to contribute themselves. And I think over the season, you've seen that. But Dalton Kanecht has been so special to this team. Because of his ability to score at three levels gracefully. I mean, at the rim, in the mid-range, a couple really big mid-range shots he hit against Auburn. And we know what he can do from the three-point line as well. Probably the most gifted three-level scorer Tennessee has had in a long time. And that's the reason why this guy is up for the National Player of the Year and will win the SEC Player of the Year because of his impact as a closer and a go-to guy. Finally, the supporting cast. You know, I think any time, especially in the transfer portal era, when you add new pieces, it's sometimes hard to figure out what your team is now. Look at Memphis and Arkansas this season, two teams that were very heavy in the portal. Memphis brought in 9 different players after losing 9, did not have anyone returning from last year's team. They've been a mess and all over the place this season because they don't have a group that has any I don't want to say they don't have any camaraderie or chemistry, but when you don't return guys that have been around for a while, it's hard to have that guy in the locker room that's been there before and sets the tone for what it means to play for this team. And that's why Memphis has been all over the place. Look at Arkansas this year. And Arkansas is a very good program, well coached by Musselman. But he also went all in on the portal, and this group has not meshed well. So hitting on the portal sometimes causes problems, and you've seen that in a couple schools this year. But you add Jordan Ganey and Dalton Kanecht, two guys that shoot a high volume of shots when they're on the court. What are these role guys and guys that have been around for a while, where they fit in? And I think early on in the season, they were trying to figure that out. But now this team continues to mesh so well And I think it's the reason why this team is where it is now. Because you could go back and look at every game this season, or at least in SEC play, and say, okay, that was the Jemai Mashak game. You could say that about the Alabama game. That was the Tobe Awaka game. You could go back and say that against Missouri. The Josiah Jordan James game. We all know Kentucky was that for him. You can go back and put your finger on almost every game this season and name a player that is an untraditional star for this team that had a really big impact. I think that supporting cast is what makes this team roll, because you know what you have in Kinect, but when Kinect's taken out of the game, who's going to be that guy to step up? And I think Tennessee has a plethora of those guys. Finally, I think the best thing about this team, and I mentioned a little bit earlier in the introduction, was that this team is able to learn from their mistakes. Last season, Tennessee goes cold all year long. It was just a consistent storyline with this group. If they were cold, likely not going to be able to come back, and the game would usually be over, especially if you went down by double digits. This team, you know, early on in the year, you're trying to figure out what your lineup was, what this team was with these new additions. I think Zakai Ziegler struggled early on, first because of his injury, but also trying to figure out where he fits alongside guys that are high-volume players offensively. And as the season has gone on, you've seen these guys find their role. And that's exactly why this team is able to be such a good team, a group, because they all know their role now, and that's they've adjusted to that. Another problem with this team early on in the season, especially in SEC play, was three-point defense. You allowed Georgia to put up 14 threes. Vanderbilt and A&M, teams that do not shoot the ball at a good clip, were able to spray threes at home. But over the course of the season, and as we alluded to earlier, this Tennessee team has adapted now, especially on the weak side, and has been able to perform or give us some of their best defensive performances we've seen under Barnes, like the matchup against Alabama on Saturday. I thought it was a Rick Barnes masterclass. It was one of the best defensive performances because you were able to find your shooters and be able to communicate and be able to give a good contest. And you allowed, forced, the number one shooting team in the country to be looking for questions or looking for answers because you were preventing them from playing their play style. This team has adapted. This team has a consistent supporting cast. This team has a closer. This team plays with pace. This is different. This is a different team than any other team under Rick Barnes. And I think you've seen that this season. And that is why this team is so just inspiring and fun to watch each night, because this is different than anything we've seen under Rick Barnes. And I guess you could say, well, you know, William, the Grand Admiral teams were very fun too. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. And I'm not giving straights to them. But this team just has that juice that I don't think this team and this program has had maybe ever. And I think it's because of all these things I listed, pace, the closer, supporting cast, and your ability to learn from your mistakes. This is a fun Tennessee team to watch. Embrace it, love it, and enjoy it while it lasts. Because college basketball, as we know, and now at the end of the season, is about to become a tournament sport. And you might not have the opportunity to watch this team play many more times. So the opportunities you get to watch this team play, enjoy it, because it's one of Tennessee's best and one of Rick Barnes' best. And I hope that this team can be playing into April, and we'll be talking about on these fan-run radio airwaves about how Tennessee was able to cut down the nets in Arizona. I really do. But anything can happen in the tournament. As Tennessee fans, as we know, so you never know what's going to happen, but make sure that you embrace and enjoy what you're seeing from this team each night out, because it's fun and it's different than we've ever seen. I'm going to try and head back to the phones real quick. Going to try and bring in Chris. I just had a little bit of a technical difficulty. Let's try it one more time. Let's see if we can bring in Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, perfect. There we go. Chris, thank you so much for hanging around. Just a lot going on here, but I appreciate it. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Just watching Cal Stark hit that bomb.
Yeah, yeah, and the baseball balls are in action too.
Up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean it's just a little windy out there, but it's crazy. Who's going to be a bigger pickup, Amick or Kinect?
Yeah, we had that conversation earlier this week, and I think someone on might have been Dawson. He said that he's the Dalton Kinect of the baseball team, and Billy Amick's been awesome. I mean, you talk about a guy that transfers in. You know what you had, you know what he was at Clemson, but the portal's very hit or miss, and Amick being able to come in here and be almost better than he was at Clemson has been huge for this team, and man, he's fun to watch.
I mean, you take the top four or five batters in Tennessee's lineup, I don't see how there's any other team better in the country.
No, and I think this baseball team, what they're better at than last year, especially offensively, I think they get on base a lot easier this year. And it, like last year's team was very home run or bust. I think this team, you have the fireworks in the like you're able to get those home runs still. But I think you're also you see these guys getting on base a lot more often. And now I get it. It's inferior play so far. Bowling Green and Southern Indiana are not going to be the teams you face come SEC play. But I think this team does do a really good job of getting on base offensively.
Yeah, I can't wait for next weekend when SEC play starts. But
yeah,
when I called Wednesday, I said I made that $50 bet on Tennessee to cover the spread. Yeah, I'm glad they wiped that. Last second dump.
Yeah.
Out
yeah, that was significant to some.
Well, for me, I'm on FanDuel, so I'm sure, each side is different, but that won me my $50.
Yeah. Well, and congratulations on that. I had a guy that had, he had five and a half, he had six. He just had six straight. He's a friend of mine that lives with me. And he was sweating out too. The guy dunks it in. He's like, oh my gosh, no way. And, they ended up calling it off. So that's the good.
I sat there sweating it.
Yeah,
I sat there sweating it till Tom Hart said, no, they waved it off.
Yeah, you had to go back and watch the replay. Yeah.
Tom Hart said, no, last back didn't count. They waved it off.
How do you feel about this game tomorrow?
I mean, I looked at FanDuel. I think it just said the spread was 8.5.
Yeah, opened at 9.5, too. Yeah, it's steep.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to put $50 on that. I mean, it's like 15 to 20.
Yeah.
If it was three or four, yeah. But I just that's a lot of points, even though – because Kentucky's so good offensively.
Yeah. Oh, they are.
Defensively, they're horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're 99th in the country in adjusted defense. And in the last five games, they're 347 in the country in defense.
But, obviously, you want to beat Kentucky, that would just be – senior night, especially for Triple J and Santi,
for sure
going out on top to beat him at home.
Yeah,
these next few weekends, it's my favorite time of the year, March Madness, and then my favorite weekend of the year, the Masters.
Yeah,
kind of back, three or four weekends in a row. I can't wait. So, but yeah, just enjoying watching this baseball game. I can't wait for tomorrow for another baseball game, and hopefully we put them, as Russell Smith says, back to the coal mine.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we appreciate your call, Chris, as always. Going back to that spread, as we were talking about, yesterday when we were talking about our projections for it, I said 5.5 when Joshy Boy called in. I said 5.5, and even I thought that might be a little steep. It opens at 9.5 today. That's screaming to me that Vegas thinks this one could get out of hand. And as I alluded to in the introduction, this is a Kentucky team that is struggling defensively. Tennessee has played really well at home offensively. There's a possibility to run away with this one. And we've seen multiple instances this season of the Vols just having that home cooking DNA. You blinked an eye in the Vanderbilt game, and it was a, 30, 40-point game, the same way against A&M. And it goes back to how this Tennessee team is different. When you play with pace and play with confidence at home, there are not many teams in the country that can beat you. The 9.5, 8.5 now, as Chris said, is a high number. I don't think I'll be taking it. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the game. leaving for Destin tomorrow, as I alluded to open. And we're hoping to make it to Destin right in time for the game to be able to sit down somewhere and watch it. So I won't be sweating out any number. I'll just be sweating out a good win for the Vols because, you know, as I said, this is a really big opportunity, not only playing against your rival, but having the opportunity to secure that number one seed, get a ninth quad one win, get a fourth consecutive win over a ranked team. Put that in perspective, folks. Beating four straight AP top 25 teams is on the line tomorrow. You could four in a row. Not a lot of college basketball teams can say they've done that. It's a really impressive stretch, and it goes back to how special this team is and why you should cherish this team, because they're doing something that hasn't been done in Knoxville really ever. And, you know, the tournament is it's a hit or miss. You never know what you're going to get. A team could go cold one night. A team could get upset. It's just how it works. So you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get to watch this team. So enjoy it and embrace it while you can. When we come back, we'll give our best bets of the night. If you want to call in, please call in during the break so I can bring you in. We'll be right back on Overtime.
Wasn't up to par. Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
Fan Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club, an exclusive community of the lifeblood of Fan Run Radio. You, our biggest supporters. With a membership to the 37 Club, you receive exclusive content like podcasts, blogs, and videos, giveaways, and access to exclusive merchandise and events. So join the 37 Club today by going to fanrunradio.com.
Are you tired of the same boring workouts that don't get you the results that you want? Check out HotWorks. With infrared light therapy and personalized wellness options, you'll be able to get the perfect workout every time. With the hot yoga or any of the other isometric options at HotWorks, you'll feel the detoxification right away. Hop on over to 10839 Hardin Valley Road or visit any of the other Knoxville locations to get started on your personalized journey.
Are you ready to play hard and work harder? Are you looking to take the next step in your career with a company who celebrates hard work and appreciates those who do it? Then it's time to join the movement at Axel Logistics. Axel is looking to expand their award-winning sales team with logistics consultants who are outgoing, ambitious, and thrive in a fast-paced environment. If that sounds like you, visit axellogistics.com to learn more. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Fan Run Radio. Axel Logistics, now is your time.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can.
Back here on Overtime on a Friday. We appreciate you listening along with us. Time for our best bets of the night right before we hit the phones. Best bet tonight is San Diego State -7 taking on the Boise State Broncos. A very tight race in the Mountain West. And the Aztecs coming off a tough loss, but they do not turn the ball over and rank 60th in adjusted offensive efficiency. This is not the best offensive team in the country, not the best offensive product from San Diego State, but on the other end of the floor, the Aztecs rank 7th in adjusted defensive efficiency and are dominant covering the perimeter. Shot quality, something we talked about with Jordan yesterday, ranks the Aztecs 13th in defending catch-and-shoot threes and inside the top 50 in both off-the-dribble threes and open three rate allowed. This is a dominant defensive team playing at home against a Broncos team that's been all over the place this season, a lot of good, a lot of mediocre. So I like San Diego State to cover at home where they've played well this season, and that is my lone best bet of the night. Let's head back to the phones where we've got Joshy Boy on the line. Joshy, what's up?
Hey, William.
How are you?
I'm all right. Kind of Belmont screwed me today.
Yeah. Let's see. Who did they match up against? I watched Indiana State earlier.
They played Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa. I watched the Indiana State game earlier, but
gotcha.
That's the only one I got to watch today.
But I normally don't chase, but I'm going to get the coins back tonight. I'm going Colorado Avalanche, Minnesota Wild over 6.5 goals.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know much about hockey, so explain.
Well, the goalie for Minnesota gives up 3 goals that's starting tonight, and the Avs score a lot of goals. And I see at least 2 goals from the Wild. So I see around a 4-3 final.
Okay.
Colorado.
All right, good deal.
Yeah. I would maybe play it up to 7-2 because I think the score really could be 5-3 Colorado.
Okay.
So, so do you guys plan on stopping somewhere tomorrow to watch the Tennessee-Kentucky game?
Yeah, so that's the whole plan. I'm leaving tomorrow at 6:30 is the proposed departure time. Mm-hmm. So,
because
you gain an hour back. So I get it'll be 3 o'clock local time in Destin.
Gotcha.
So looking to get there around 2:15, maybe go to Buffalo Wild Wings or something and stop
yeah.
and watch the game. You know, a little B-dubs action.
Sweet.
Did you see the spread for this one?
Yeah, it's a big spread.
How do you feel about that?
I haven't looked. Do you have your phone on you right now? Because I was going to have you look at the over-under if they have that out yet or not.
Let me check real quick.
Because I wouldn't take the spread. I would take the over if it's at a decent number.
Let's see here. Over-under 164.5.
I would take that. I would hammer it too because I think that's too low.
You get you get the number one offense in the country in Kentucky, or one of the top offenses in the country. And Tennessee's been really good at home offensively too. So naturally you think that the buckets could be coming in bunches.
I see this game being played in the high 70s, low 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think?
You know, I think this is. I don't know. I really think that either Tennessee does a really good job defensively and locks them down and keeps them to around 70, and Tennessee is just able to kind of will their way, like they've played well at home. Or it could be another boat race again, up in the high 80s and low 90s, where Tennessee's got to just continue to match what Kentucky's doing. And you've seen Tennessee match a couple of these offenses in these big games. Alabama,
yeah.
They shot more threes and made more threes than the number one three-point shooting team in the country in Alabama. And when we went on the road to Kentucky, you were able to outscore that team, put up 103 points on the road. I don't think they'll do that tomorrow. But, I think if Tennessee is, they allow them to get in a boat race, I think Tennessee's well-equipped to keep her in a running.
I agree with that. One more thing out the door, William. I know Connect's probably going to get the biggest ovation tomorrow on Senior Day, but I think both Santi and Triple J should get even a bigger ovation for what they did for this university. They deserve it tomorrow. You have a good weekend at the beach, and go Big Orange, beat Kentucky.
Go Big Orange. Joshy, we appreciate your call, as always. And, yeah, I agree as well. You know, listen to the interview today, if you haven't, on the morning show. Rick Barnes is talking about Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James, two guys that have played really big roles in the success of this team and have been the framework for this team's success. So I think they deserve as loud an ovation as possible, because we know Kinect will get a big one because of how special he's been offensively and how he's kind of carried this team to where it is now. But the foundation and the framework for this success was built a long time ago, and that's when Josiah Jordan James, a five-star freshman, came onto the scene, and a lanky guard from Uruguay comes over in Santiago Vescovi. These guys have stayed around. They've had great attitudes and embody what it means to be a Tennessee Vol. And I think a lot of people should continue to embrace them, and I hope they get a huge ovation tomorrow, as they deserve. When we come back in the next hour, we'll talk about a big weekend in college basketball. We'll go down the list of some of the biggest games, and we'll also talk about the Vols bracketology now that they've been slated as a number one seed and what the possible path looks like when we return on Overtime.